The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is just wonderful to be on, Vanita.
Thank you so much for joining us. So all of a sudden, we look up and you're in the Ukraine. Tell us about your trip and what you had hoped to highlight with that visit.
Sure. We were there very briefly over the weekend, but we were there for some really important meetings with the president of Ukraine, the defense minister, as Russia is amassing more troops on the border, and various other members of the president's cabinet. And the purpose was to go together, Democrats and Republicans, and from everyone from myself to Republican Senator Kramer of North Dakota, to send a very clear message that while we may not agree on everything, we have a unity when it comes to standing with Ukraine against Russian aggression. And that means everything from the weapons that are being sent there, a plane load last week, plane load this week, lethal weapons, economic aid, and the like. But it is also about working with our allies. That's how we send a clear message to Vladimir Putin. If he invades, and he's already done some of this, as we know, in the past, but if he invades, there will be consequences.
And you co-sponsored legislation that would impose sanctions on Putin.
Yes, exactly. There are some things that the administration, our administration in the U.S., can do on their own, as can other countries, sanctions on economic sectors in Russia and the like. But then there are some particular things that we would have to authorize, including sanctions against Vladimir Putin himself for travel, not allowing him. He may not come to the U.S. much, but he does go to Europe. Sanctions on where he can go and on his assets and on those surrounding him. Because this would be an all-out assault on democracy. Ukraine has a thriving democracy. They've had several elections. Their economy is strong. They have every institution like a free press that you would imagine you would need. TVs, we did interviews with them. And the last thing you need is to have this dictator basically come in and take it over. And that's what he is proposing, to take away their democracy. And that's why you see such an outcry against these actions. One other thing I wanted to add is Senator McCain and I went there with Senator Lindsey Graham about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was right when some of this had started. And we stood on the border and met with widows of soldiers who literally had just been killed the week before by sniper fire. 14,000 Ukrainians have lost their lives. And I think it's a huge number when you think about it. And we have a big Ukrainian-American population in Minnesota that's well aware of this, but not everyone knows just how tragic this has been.
It's 6:53. We're talking with Senator Amy Klobuchar. Voting rights legislation, again, it's going to be taking center stage today. Where do you see this going, if anywhere?
Well, this is going to be the first time that we have been able to even debate this bill. It's unfortunately been shut down because of various archaic Senate rules. Senators can just basically throw a wrench in a process, go home and raise money or do whatever they do. And it's really been troublesome because, and not just on this topic, I think you've got to, like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, if you're going to stop a bill from even being voted on, you've got to be there and do it. So we're trying to make that a reality. And that's what this debate is about today. In addition to taking the laws like we have in Minnesota, which work so well, which have elected, by the way, everyone from Tim Walz to Tim Pawlenty to Jesse Ventura, all three parties, and make sure that other states have fair election laws. Right now, we're seeing this flood of voter suppression laws across the country, taking away same-day registration in Montana that's had it for 15 years, and 8,000 people use it on Election Day, things like that. And so that's why we're working so hard to put in some minimum federal standards. Obviously, Minnesota wouldn't be that affected if the bill passed, because we already have such good, strong voting laws.
Can you explain to people the filibuster situation and the controversy over this? Because you hear about it a lot, but it'll be interesting to get your perspective on
it. So what this is like the state legislature in Minnesota, every legislature in the country, countries around the world, they all, if you basically have a bill and if you get a majority, you win, right? If there's 100 people, you get 51, you win. Well, in the U.S. Senate, there's this old rule that says you have to keep debating things. And over time, it somehow turned into you basically have to get 60 votes to pass anything. And sometimes that's been okay. I like to work with my colleagues across the aisle. But in the last few years, it's really been a problem. So all these, to do anything, no matter who's in charge. So all these exceptions have been put in place for, like, the rescue plan that we just passed, for the Trump tax cuts, for other things, where it's 51 votes. So what we're arguing is, let's, for voting rights, something this fundamental, should be 51 votes too, just like the 160 other exceptions that are in place for things like stopping arms sales and other things. So that's what this is about, trying to reform the Senate rules. And as I explained, one thing that would really work is if everyone actually had to be there and they couldn't just stop a bill and go home. And no matter what you thought about the particular piece of legislation, at least you would know where your member stood, where the person you elected, whether you voted for them or not, where they stood. How are they going to vote on it? They don't even vote on things. They just go home. And so that's why we want to change the rules.
Curious, would Democrats support Republicans suspending the filibuster if the tables were turned?
So here's the deal with me. I want to get rid of it, knowing very well the Republicans could take in charge. Why is that? I have faith there's a lot of people in the middle, people like my friend Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, who are not going to vote for crazy stuff. They're going to want to work with us on some kind of negotiated agreement, as just happened with the infrastructure bill, actually, which was a really good thing, and we all got together and got that done. But I think that right now we can't get big challenges done. We have huge challenges right now with, like, work permits for immigrant workers that I think we could get done if we had a 51-vote thing. We have to do something about climate change. There's all kinds of things we have to get done and take on challenges. And because of the way the Senate is, people know people like Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema. There's a lot of people in the middle that aren't going to vote for something on either extreme, including myself on certain issues. And so I think the answer here is to just start debating and voting on things for the good of this country, because all these other countries, China, Russia, they're watching and they know that all these things aren't moving ahead. And that's why I would like to see some change in the Senate rules.
We have about 30 seconds left. Any thoughts about the investigation into former President Trump and his family, the developments that have been happening in the last few days?
Yeah, well, I have made it my practice not to get involved in legal cases now as a senator. When I was a prosecutor of the cases we had, I would comment on. So I assume those cases are proceeding through court. In Washington, of course, there's a different thing going on. There's an investigation of what happened on January 6th coming out of the House. I did my own investigation with Republicans, Roy Blunt and Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, who just went with me to Ukraine. He and the two of them and another guy, Gary Peters, and I went deep into the security failures at the Capitol. We put out a very complex report, bunch of recommendations, and a number of them have been acted on. We have a new police chief. We have better security. So I'm pretty proud of that work, and that's been my piece of it.
Senator Klobuchar, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Benita.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.